All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Friday. That means it's an F, yeah, Friday on The Usual Suspects. Hoping to have some fun and take you along for the ride here for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, everybody present and accounted for. Fellas, what's going on?
What up, what up?
What to do? What's going on?
All good in the neighborhood, man. Anything eventful overnight?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I can't. No, not really. I feel like it was a boring old man night for me. So, I you know what? Those aren't bad, though. There's nothing wrong with not having anything exciting going on. I mean, I don't live that youngster life like Nicholas.
Yeah.
I don't get to make fart noises to my dog and freak him out.
That was funny. Yeah.
No, nothing exciting for me. Nick, you do anything?
I mean, I went out. I went out drinking. Pretty hungover again, but
super shocked. Yeah. What about you, Joel? You do anything?
I went out. I went drinking. I went for a run, and then I fell asleep in the first half of the Blazers game, and then I woke up for the fourth quarter in time to see the end. So I thought Portland had, when I fell asleep, I thought Portland was very much in control.
Boy, I tell you what, it looked to be the case, but yeah.
Guess not. As planned.
Guess not.
No.
But they're doing what they're supposed to do on their home court. So.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, look, the thing that's always amazing to me in these playoffs is one game and everybody loses their mind.
Everybody is like, well, that's it. I mean, to be fair, you and I were both guilty of that in that Boston series.
Yeah,
when Boston came out and just absolutely made the Bucks look awful, we were like, ooh, this could be over. That didn't look good at all.
But I got mad when, after two games in the Bay Area for the Rockets, everybody came back and was like, sweep, they got no chance. And it's always about you got to win on the other team's home floor. In the case of the Milwaukee-Boston series, Boston went to Milwaukee and won.
Yeah.
And then after the Rockets took care of business, now it's like, can the Rockets win it all? And I'm like, what happened to Warriors? Sweep. All these headlines were like, Warriors biding time to see who they will face between Nuggets and Blazers. And it's like, dude, you only won two games. every game now. I mean, after one game in this series, everybody thinks Milwaukee's already going to the title.
Yeah.
And Portland's done in everybody's mind.
And you know what? I mean, to go on the road and lose by three in Golden State, the problem was you had a big lead. But you know, I think the thing is, it's kind of like with the Rockets. What it does is it gives you enough confidence to go back home and say, all right, we'll just handle business on our home court like the Rockets did. This team is susceptible to losing on the road. The Warriors are, and we already know KD's out for games 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So you know what? We handle our business at home. This becomes a 3-game series, much like the Rockets did. And if we shoot better than them and play better defense than them and care a little bit more than them and do everything better than them, we could win this series.
I never thought KD was an Achilles, but I never thought it would be a week. Because every single time I've had a calf injury, it's between, and I'm not obviously KD NBA guy, but playing frequently enough, I know even the slightest calf tweak, that's 3 weeks to a month. That's why all of a sudden Steve's like, you know, Steve Kerr's yesterday's like, well, after further evaluation, it looks to be a bit more serious. I mean, you guys were just trying to keep everybody hanging on the edge of their seat like there might be some Willis Reed moment, but this dude's going to be out a while.
Well, you also don't push your chips in and tell everybody the deal.
Right.
It's a little tougher to game plan. If you're like, ooh, is KD back? What do we do? Is he going to play tonight? I'd go Bill Belichick on the NBA as well.
Yeah.
Smart thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, and again, wow, it's just amazing to talk about how this team with that core from the first championship can come in and play a totally different style.
Yeah.
And just when those two guys get going, that comeback in the second half, the way Thompson and Curry shoot the ball, it's just fun to watch.
I still don't understand why they're running Andrew Bogut out there.
I knew you were going to ask that when I saw him in the starting lineup.
Can somebody please tell me why he's even in the starting lineup? He played 4 minutes. 4 minutes.
He got himself a foul, didn't he? At least one.
Yeah. He was a -1 on the floor and got a personal foul. One rebound, one assist. Why is this dude why don't you just save us all the drama and the trouble and just throw Looney out there
No,
to start the game?
Yeah. I don't. I have no idea.
I mean,
now.
from a bench perspective, Looney got the most minutes. I mean, he's the backup to Bogut. Like, just run him out there. I don't understand that. That's just weird. But whatever. I mean, you got 4 of 14 from 3-point range from Steph Curry, and you were able to get a win. You'll take that.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, his little brother looked pretty good too.
Yeah,
he did. You know, he looked a little tight from time to time in the first half. Second half, when he got it going, that was fun too, to see that little battle within the battle with those two and talking to each other and everything like that. And they showed, I don't know if you saw it at the start of the game, like before game one, when Steph took the floor, he kind of bumped his brother on the other end when he ran by him. And then game two, he did like a leapfrog. He literally like Seth was kind of leaning over, and Steph jumped over him. And Van Gundy goes, "I would have stood up right there. I just would have stood up right there and dumped Steph." I was like, you know what?
He would have done that. You definitely would have done that to Stan.
Yep.
But Stan ain't jumping over anybody. So
no.
Wouldn't have to worry about that. Yeah, I mean, if I were to tell you things like the Blazers would have a 15-point lead at half, they'd shoot 46% from 3-point range, and the Warriors would only shoot 31%. Curry would go 4 for 14 from the 3-point range. And no one else outside of those two, out of Curry and Thompson, would have really meaningful contributions from a scoring perspective. You'd say, "Oh, okay, yeah, this is doable." And somehow, some way, man, that third quarter came. You know, Warriors came storming back, got rid of that lead, and then I mean, I saw somebody saying like, "Oh, it was over in the third quarter." Hey, Blazers had a lead in the fourth quarter too.
No.
They just couldn't hold on to it, man. I mean, that's what happened. You can't keep a team like that down.
That's the thing. They make up ground so quickly. God. That the biggest lead Portland had, I think, was 17, and yet just like that. And you know what? I used to despise it, but because it's been a few years since you've seen them play this true style of Warriors basketball, it's pretty fun when they start putting the pedal down.
When because, it's not your team.
Right.
Can we put that caveat on it?
Completely agree. Because, man, when some of the shots that Thompson hits, stepping back, momentum going one way, but just stopping and getting behind the line and dropping shots, and you're like, that is such a hard shot to make, and yet they're making shot after shot after shot.
Who do you like watching shoot the ball more, Curry or Klay Thompson? It's a tough call.
It is, because
for different reasons.
Here's why I don't like Steph as much anymore. All the flailing. He's constantly with the kicking the legs out, Steph and gyrating Harden, and like he got hit by a sniper. Whereas Klay, pretty much, it is what it is. He's just going to show you that if he's got size and he can get the shot up over you, he's just going with it.
Steph has some Harden in him. He'll throw in some theatrics and some flailing.
Yep.
When he shoots, but it's just some of the shots that he makes, from where he makes them and how effortlessly he makes it look. For my money, I watch Steph Curry shoot.
And the thing is,
it's just crazy.
Lillard too. I mean, the thing is when he gets
McCollum
it going,
might have a couple of those shot shots of that
Lillard.
Of
Lillard took a couple of deep ones last night, like off a screen, and yet they were calling him the logo because he was shooting it from the logo.
Yeah,
that's the range in the NBA right now is just fantastic. With we just mentioned three guys, four guys, and they can all do it.
Yep.
So it's cool. It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight in Milwaukee too, because
it's funny, Curry and Thompson go 8 of 22 from 3-point range. McCollum and Lillard go 8 of 19. So, I mean, makes are about the same. It's just, man, the Warriors, there's something about this team that it's that difference between them and everybody else and a championship team and contenders, is that a team like that will be down as big as they were down, as much as they were down.
They don't quit.
They don't quit, and their shooting can keep them in it. Now, their shooting can keep them out of it too when it goes cold, but they're never out of it. Even like you said, at 17, it's like we talked about when the Rockets were playing the Warriors. You can't get down by 10 or 12 to the Warriors and expect to come back, because you might cut it to 6, but it'll be 12 again, like in 2 possessions, 3 possessions. Like, it's just you're not gonna. You got to keep them 6 and under, I think. If you're gonna, you know, beat the Warriors, you can't let them get more than a 6-point lead on you.
Remember that now. The Rockets did that, and then it was a 6-point game in the fourth quarter.
I'm just saying it's a recipe for disaster if you think that you can get down by 10 or 12 to the Warriors and come back every time. Now, I know the Clippers and the 31
and the
all
Rockets
that
did it to them a couple
I'm
times.
Saying in general, though, because they just have the ability to keep you at bay. It's almost like if you were fighting a little person and you just put your hand on their head and like just then let them get inside range on you. I feel like that's what the Warriors do sometimes with their shooting ability.
I think the thing is because they play so helter-skelter when they get going, the Rockets and the Warriors are similar in that. How many times did we see the Rockets this year? They had a 20-point lead And then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's gone.
Yeah.
And also, they were down big numbers, and they can turn it around so quickly. It's just because the style of play, the tempo, how quickly they're taking shots. Obviously, it's not traditional basketball, so some people are not going to like it. I'll tell you the other thing, that their back cuts and the way that they found Draymond Green, for as much as everybody craps on him and he deserves it for his attitude and everything else, man, he's a hell of a passer.
They've been doing that for years. Yeah. That's Warriors basketball. At one point, I remember during the Rocket series, I don't know who it was, but it just looked like an ant. It looked like somebody kicked an ant pile. Mm-hmm. There was just everybody running everywhere while the Warriors were in an offensive set. And somebody even said, look at the movement on this team. I don't know why that surprises them, though. Like, they've literally been running that style. Now, KD slowed it down a little bit.
They got out of it because of him.
But they still, Steph Curry alone might be, I wouldn't be surprised if he leads the league in distance ran for a season.
Now, let me ask you,
because he moves so much without the ball.
This came up this morning with Jay Will on one of your favorite shows on Get Up. And I couldn't disagree more.
Okay.
But he's obviously very tight with Kevin Durant anyway. But he's like, run this tape. I really got a problem with this. And Curry's at the free throw line for three free throws. And the crowd starts chanting MVP. And he's like, if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm out. That bothers me. I'm out. I'm not doing that. That should be his franchise. Because everybody knows till he got hurt, he was the best player. And the fact that they're shouting MVP for Steph Curry, if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm out. And I'm going, you got to be out of your mind, man.
That's a stupid take.
The Warriors drafted this guy. They won a title before they got Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And the stats have proven that as good as that team is, when Steph's out, they struggle. When he's in and KD's out, they still win.
I think it was Charlie that was given the numbers when KD was out. This was last week last series when they lost KD to the Rockets. Mm-hmm. The Warriors were 29-1 without KD, but with Steph. They were 22-22 with KD, but without Steph.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. No, that's 99% sure that's what the numbers were. And I mean, look, it's like you said, and it's like that guy on Twitter said the other day, everybody knows that KD needed the Warriors. The Warriors didn't need KD.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't his team. I don't care what you say. Is he the best player on the team? Sure, he is. He's the best player on the team and maybe the best two or three players in the world. But it doesn't matter. That's still Steph Curry's team, period, end of story. Especially if there's rumblings you want to leave. You got your ring, now you're going to go somewhere else.
Like, why? Yeah.
Jay Will with the hot take, man. Sounds like he's going to be start doing more
trolling and
come on, man.
I'm with you. And by the way, they had my favorite player on again today, so it was hard to watch. Matt Barnes, all over the place, like manure, the way they're spreading him around ESPN shows. And all the tats, and just, he's annoying to me.
You don't like him, huh?
You know this. So, okay, we're just getting started. HRNP listener line open, 713-780-3776. Call, text that number, hit us on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. And, of course, it's an FEF Friday, which means we have our Comedian of the Week.
Sarah Tullemesh. I think we featured her before, but I felt it was time to do it again. We've featured a couple of comedians several times now. And Sarah just was on the Late Late Show with James Corden, so I wanted to get her some more run here in Houston. A Houston comedian in New York. She's been on Last Comic Standing, Adam Devine's House Party, and then, of course, this week she did the Late Late Show with James Corden. So I wanted to show her some love and some Houston love, even though she's all the way in New York City. So she'll be featured this week. Three clips. I pulled all three clips from her appearance on the Late Late Show this week.
Cool.
So we'll get a chance to see what she's up to now.
There you go. So that's all the information you need to start the show. We're going to take a quick break, come back with a whole lot more as we're just getting started. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh my goodness. I just got married. Yeah. I'm over it.
What? We're back on The Usual Suspects. That was the clip?
No.
At least you got
what
married.
Happened?
That was the clip. It was 10 seconds long.
No.
Congratulations, Sarah Tolomesh, our comedian of the week. She got married.
Why did you only play 10 seconds?
Is it 9 to 19 seconds is what I see?
No, it's 09 to 119. Why would I put in? Why, tell me why I would put in. I just got married. Good night. Thank you. Good night, Cleveland.
I was just having that conversation with Brandon. I was like, why would he only have a 10-second clip?
Someone's definitely hungover. Someone has definitely had a rough night last night.
No, it had nothing to do with that. I really thought it said 19 seconds. So.
Joel.
9 seconds.
Yes, sir.
Clearly says 119.
He could have easily changed that, by the way.
I'm not even...
He could have easily changed it.
Yes, Nick. I would definitely feature the comedian of the week and have her come on and say, I just got married.
Don't put
it
past you that you've never put the wrong markings.
That would be it.
Don't put it past you.
I would do 10 seconds.
Don't put it past you that you haven't put the wrong markings.
Don't try to pin this on me because you messed it up. That's all you're doing right now.
I'm not trying to pin anything on you.
He's trying to make it like, you changed it. No.
I'm not trying to pin anything on you,
No.
I'm not trying to pin anything on you.
That's funny. Well, we'll do it again. We'll do it at 1:30. We'll knock it out. It's all good.
And she is originally from Houston?
She is from Houston. I don't know if she was born here, but I know as far as comedy goes, she came up here in Houston. And actually, she talks about getting married. She just married a comedian some people might recognize, Joe List, who has been doing it for a minute. Really funny dude, nationally known. So, yeah, they are kind of the comedy power couple right now.
Cool.
Yep.
Question for you, too, before we get off that stuff. They had Barkley on this morning, too, on Get Up. Mm-hmm. I can't believe someone didn't call him out. He was talking about the series tonight. He was talking about the Warriors series. And, and they obviously TNT's covering the East. And they said, so what do you think? I mean, Greek Freak and Kawhi. And he goes, obviously the two best players in the game. The two best players in the playoffs for sure. And I'm going, until KD gets hurt, how is anyone close to the numbers he was putting up?
Yeah, not even close. First guy on pace to do 35 points of 50, 40, 90.
We highlighted all of that. I'm like, Charles, I know it's early now, in the mill, but
okay,
come on.
Now, without KD in the mix, let's assume for a minute that he was just talking about the fact that he's not playing. Is he right?
Without KD in the mix.
Is Giannis and Kawhi the best two players?
In the playoffs.
Left?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Steph never gets.
You can make an argument for Steph.
Steph's never going to get that love, I think, because he's got that soft, and he's light skinned. Let's face it, light skinned dudes never get the love that they deserve. But for as much as he struggled, yeah, Steph still never gets mentioned, maybe like he should. I mean, if you were drafting strictly from players in the playoffs, Steph probably goes third, or actually fourth, I should say. It's going to be KD, and then Giannis, and then Kawhi, and then Steph, I'm guessing.
Freak, Kawhi.
KD. If you were drafted, KD first.
I think KD first, absolutely.
Now, you'd have to flip a coin between Kawhi and the Greek Freak, would you?
Well, the only
who are you taking?
Say this.
All right, let's say Nick gets the number one pick in the draft. He's taking KD. Who are you taking second?
I'll tell you this. I'll take, you know why? Because of how young he is, I'll take the Greek Freak.
Okay.
That would factor into me because I have longevity in terms of team success if I have him for a few more years.
Nick, who are you taking second? If we know KD's off the board with the number one pick, who are you taking second?
Between KD and?
KD's off the board. He's going to be the number one pick in a playoff draft.
Kawhi and Giannis.
Between Kawhi and Giannis, who are you taking? You got the number two pick in the playoff draft.
I probably would pick Kawhi.
Would you?
Yeah.
See, I think I would too just because I think his game is a little more well-rounded. He can defend. He can shoot, you know, he has a decent jump shot. He can get to the rim. He can do all the things. Giannis can do all that except really consistently knock down the outside shot.
I do feel like, and I could be wrong on this, I don't know what Joel thinks, but like it's harder to predict a guy that's super tall and super, like who's coined as a tall and mobile guy that's actually going to turn out in the NBA. I think that's harder to predict than a guy who's 6'6", 6'7", and supposed to be able to be moved like that. You know what I mean?
Remember when everyone was like, KD's too skinny to play in the NBA. Mm. He's going to have to put some meat on his bones.
But remember when they did like they do for the NFL Combine, they did the bench press test, and he couldn't press 135.
Oh, my God. Even I can do that.
Yeah, and they got all over him, and he's like, last time I checked, putting the ball through the hoop has nothing to do with lifting weights and how much I can bench press.
Wow, 135.
Oh, my God.
He needed to hit the weights then. If he was only benching 130, or if he couldn't do 135, then he had to hit the...
Look at him. His calf that everybody's looking at, your wrist is bigger. So when you look at him, and when he came out of Texas,
that's true.
He was even more frail than that. Yeah. He could just fill it up.
I wasn't a believer. I didn't watch a ton of college basketball, but I was like, there's no way this dude makes it in the NBA as skinny as he is. He looks like a shorter Manute Bol. Wow. I mean,
I'll tell you what. I saw him play here. They played an early season game at Toyota Center against LSU, against Glenn Big Baby Davis in LSU. And we were like right up close. And I was like, man, I know he's no wider than a straw, but boy, his range even then was just scary. Cause he really doesn't jump. I mean, it's almost like a set shot from even 40 feet out.
Yep.
So, I mean.
So you're going Kawhi, Nick, second pick.
And you are too?
Yeah.
I would.
I think so. Just because I would trust that. I think he's a little more versatile. The ceiling is the roof for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm-hmm. Kumbo, dang Kumbo, it. Yeah. Damn it.
Is this like with us knowing how they both would have turned out? Or is this just.
No, this is just right now. If you were just like. Because the whole point was he said Barkley said that the two best players left in the playoffs is Kawhi and Giannis. And Steph never gets love.
The two best players that throughout the playoffs for the first, second round now.
Yeah.
And I disagree with
no love to KD.
I might change my pick if I'm allowed to. Because I thought you guys were saying like because I think Kawhi was projected to be the better player than Giannis going into the NBA, right? Isn't that fair to say?
No, because again, it was all about potential. No one knew anything
about
Giannis.
We're just saying right now, knowing what you know about the players, you're drafting
Kawhi
a franchise.
Kawhi had the same knock coming out of college at San Diego State. Couldn't shoot, and his hands were too big.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right.
And both went 15 in their respective drafts.
No, I'd probably still pick Kawhi then. I probably still would pick Kawhi. I just think I love a tall guy that's super mobile, that can shoot, that can play like a guard. And that's what Giannis is. Like, he can do that. And if you can build a team around, I would totally build a team around that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Because isn't it safe to say, fellas, that if you look at it, we know the finished product with KD. We know the finished product with Kawhi. We don't know that finished product yet with Giannis because, like you said, we don't know if he's going to develop that jump shot, if he's going to continue to get better shooting it. And a lot of players have been able to do that. But if he does, then we haven't seen his ceiling yet because if he develops a face-up game, he's really going to be tough to guard.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Can you imagine him with a hardened step back or something?
Boy.
Oh,
that he would consistently knock down? Yeah, or even a Nowitzki style, like Durant's kind of incorporated with his knee up fadeaway that he shoots. Yeah,
one-legger,
If he develops something like that, ooh, that's going to be nasty.
And that's what's interesting to see because you look at guys like Giannis and Ben Simmons and even Markel Fultz, but guys that we know need to do some work. It's the guys that are going to want to go in the gym in the offseason, no matter how far you go in the playoffs, like Ben Simmons. You should already be in the gym next week, and you should start working on either changing your shot or making it more fun. Because you should take it personal when people make fun of you and said your range is 5.5 feet and in.
Yeah.
And if Giannis takes it serious, because the other thing I do like about him is he's like, screw all this working out with guys you play against during the year in the summer. He goes, those are the enemy. I don't like them. I'll work out to get better to beat them, but I won't work out with them.
Yeah.
I like that.
I do too.
So, all right. That's game two tonight. That's Raptors and Bucks in the mill before they head up north to Canada for the weekend. So we just getting started here on The Usual Suspects. Lots to talk about. Astros back on the diamond tonight in Fenway against the Red Sox. A rematch of last year's playoffs. First time the two teams will get together. Garrett Cole on the mound. So we've got plenty to talk about that way and other ways. And if there's something you want to interject, 713-780-3776. HR&P Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh my goodness. I just got married. I'm over it. I just barely made it right under 40. It was scary there for a second. For a moment, I thought I was going to have to be one of those women that didn't believe in marriage. Now I do, so that feels good. Like, I got married when I was 39, which I feel like is a little late to be getting married for the first time. So I've just been telling people this is my second marriage. Yeah, first one died. It was sad. I got over it, though. But I do like being married. It's great. Except right now I want to have a dog. Except my husband, he doesn't want to have a dog. I wish there was a way to trick my husband into having a dog like you can with a baby. It's so much easier. Like, I can't just get my husband drunk and then wake up with the dog the next day. Or just like, oh my God, we have to keep it. For religious reasons.
There you go, our comedian of the week, Sarah Tolomesh. Barry gave you a little bit of a backstory there, but funny lady.
Yeah. Last Comic Standing, Adam Devine's house party. Last Comic Standing was like 2008. That'll tell you how long she's been doing comedy. So she's definitely a seasoned vet. And then this week she did the Late Late Show with James Corden. That was one part of it. She did a 5-minute set. And usually that's what late night is a 5-minute set. So we'll have about 3 minutes or so total of the set. So if you missed it, you'll get to check it out. And you can follow her on Twitter at S Tolomesh. And the way to spell it is S-T-O-L-L-E-M-A-C. You just go to ESPN 975.
I spelled that right. Misspelled Wessling.
That's hilarious. You got Tolomesh.
Her last name is way more difficult to spell.
Boy, I'll tell you. Just go to ESPN 975 and you can follow her from that account. Did you tag her on it?
Absolutely.
On the tweet. Okay.
And you. Yeah. And I bet Joel was like, I ain't saying that name first. I'm going to let Barry
say
it.
For me. Yeah, usually I try. If it's a difficult name, I'll put how to pronounce it phonetically just for him, just in case, because he usually says the name first, and then I forgot. So he was like, who's our comedian of the week, Barry?
But I do that every week. I let you introduce him the first time.
But sometimes you'll throw the name out, and then I'll give the credentials.
It's the mark of a professional.
It wasn't happening this week, was it?
Again, you're like, I go back to the whole thing with Adetokunbo.
Yeah.
No one wants to say it.
I don't want to say it. I say Greek freak.
But look at all the national pundits. They don't want to say it either.
Yeah.
They're always either like the freak, the Greek freak, or Giannis. They don't want to say, because they know that they will get beat up if they don't say it right.
Yeah. It's not an easy name. T-O-L-L-E-M-A-C-H-E. Tolomesh is how it's pronounced. When I first saw it, I was like, Tolomaki? No.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I would have said it exactly that way.
Oh, really? Okay, well, then I'm not an idiot. Yeah. I'm not good. It's not
no, the fact
me.
That or we would have said it the same way makes both of us idiots.
Yeah. We're both dumbasses. Yeah. Hey, I saw on Twitter, Jerome had retweeted this link to a Chronicle story. And it's something that I've kind of wrestled with a little bit.
Did you win?
All right. Don't start that. The title of the article is The Fundamentals of Barbecue Line Etiquette.
Okay.
Now, I guess to start with, have either of you waited in line more than an hour for barbecue?
We've done it together.
We did it at Dallas.
And did it in Dallas with AJ.
Because of AJ.
Because he insisted for breakfast on going to this barbecue that was out of the way. And we did it for an hour and then left while we got to the front of the line because we knew we were running out of time. And if we didn't leave the first day, and we went back second day and got the barbecue too.
You waited twice?
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the first day, if we don't leave when we left, we would have been late for our own
show.
Well,
AJ, I mean, I'm just going to throw AJ under the bus here. Yeah, he thought we could make it back to Radio Row and still wait in this long line. I'm like, AJ, I mean, I'll be the bad guy here.
Yeah, Nick and I are in the line.
I don't think we're going to make it on time for our show.
Yeah, Nick and I are in the line when AJ's back's turn. I'm going, Nick, you see what time it is?
Was he trying to, like, big time everybody?
No. He just really wanted that barbecue.
Passionate. Yeah, he was passionate.
Wanted that barbecue.
This is, like, one of the top barbecue spots.
And it was a great spot. It was a great spot. Like, this spot's only open, like, 2 or 3 days out of the week, and they're just packed. Like, they purposely do not open 5 or 6
days. So he wasn't trying to big time.
No.
Like, oh, don't worry, guys. I'll get us to the front of the line.
No, he was actually cool enough to say, you know what, you guys, you're right. We should leave. Because we had not gone to the stadium yet. We didn't get our credentials. And with everything the way it shook out, once we got settled in, we're like, if we'd have stayed.
So what about here, though? Have you ever gone and just waited in line here?
No, I haven't. I have not yet. Not that long. Not an hour.
Blessed to be at a radio station where they bring it to you most times.
So apparently this guy, J.C. Reed, wrote an article for the Chronicle that was released today.
Okay.
About the fundamentals of barbecue line etiquette. And he mentions some of the bigger names like Killens and Corkscrew and Tejas Chocolate, who I've eaten all three. And I've waited in line at two of them. So these are, according to J.C. Reed, these are some of the rules of line etiquette. Because you can wait in line for hours. I mean, it's no joke. These lines are ridiculous. Now, it's not, I think he even mentions Franklin's Barbecue in Austin, how that line, you can wait, sometimes people wait up to like 5 hours. First of all, I don't love barbecue that much that I would wait 5 hours.
Me either.
I don't give a damn how good your brisket is.
Yeah.
5 hours?
Nope.
No.
But those burnt ends, man.
No.
Love those.
So, some of the rules that J.C. Reed says is, one, obviously you don't cut, but then they talk about there's a numbering system that some of these barbecue places are putting in. Like Corkscrew, they have a binder, and you can get a number out of the binder, and that's kind of the order. There's a limited amount of pages that have a number on them, so it's first come, first serve. And let's just say it's 1 through 30, and everyone goes and grabs a number. And that's the first 30 customers. But what they say is, or what he's saying is, you can't get that number and then leave and come back in 2 hours and just be ready to go. He's saying that that's poor etiquette. But what he does say is, you can't go home, get your number, go home, and go to sleep for a couple hours. But if you wanted to walk around the area, go to the window shopping, grab some coffee, go sleep in the car, that's okay. What's the difference? If I'm leaving the line, what is the difference?
The risk of you not coming back on time exists regardless, right?
But how is that poor etiquette to the other people waiting in line?
I agree.
It's not. Like, if I'm leaving, it doesn't matter where I'm going once I leave. I feel like if you get out of line, bro, you just got out of line. That's on you. No. If I'm sitting my hot ass in here waiting on this barbecue and you got the number and left, no, you're not. I'll fight me. Fight me right now. Fight me. And then speaking of that, he talks about saving a place in line for people.
No, hold on now.
According to J.C. Reed, as far as barbecue line etiquette goes, you can save a spot for one person. That's totally acceptable if it's you and your wife or your spouse or your best friend or whatever, and you're in line and they got there late. One person walking up, that's not necessarily cutting. That's just, you know.
You've already held up. You're already still waiting in line and you add someone to your party.
They walk up and join you.
I get it.
Two people is borderline. It's frowned upon, but it can happen. Three or more is out of the question. You're not allowed to have three or more people come up and cut and join you in line. Are we good with one?
I am.
You're good. I am too.
I'm not.
Really?
No?
Nope.
I could see that.
I am not okay with one person being allowed. Like, you have, if me and my wife can get there together and wait in line and sweat our asses off like we did.
You can too.
You can too. What? Do you disagree?
You know, I really do. I mean, I guess one is it the number, Joel, that doesn't bother you? Like, it's just one. I mean, it's not.
A lot of times, like we were doing, maybe, you know, we saw a lot of people. Maybe someone's parking the car. You know, there's things like that. I understand how those kind of things happen, but I don't like when multiples waltz up at the very end and you're like, whoa, like wait like a minute.
It. Yeah, I don't like it. I think if you just have one person walking up, I'm not a fan of that. Everybody else has been out here sweating for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and you come all walking up all prissy with your makeup done. Oh, hey, guys, sorry, I had something to do. I don't care, bitch. Get to the back of the line.
See, that's the one place.
We all waited. You can wait.
That's the one place that you would make me. I just feel too awkward to, like, don't get it twisted. I'll be confrontational. But that's the whole fight over in line thing. That makes me feel awkward. I don't really argue.
My wife hates it.
I've been cut before and let it happen.
We got cut waiting on Selena cups, and I almost fought about a family of 50. I almost had to fight kids and all. I don't give a damn.
I can see you do that.
I totally can too.
Go get your dog. Look, I didn't sit up in this stupid ass line for this stupid ass cup for you and a family of 50. Now,
hopefully none of them are bigger than you.
I want you to understand,
though. They're all.
I want you to understand, though. Massive. You fight these people and you leave the line to fight these people, you cannot go back and join Nora.
No, I'll fight them in my spot.
Then you cannot come back to your spot if you leave.
I'll fight you in my spot. No, I'm going to fight you in my spot. we're gonna fight in this little circle of death.
Your wife during all this? How are you fighting with your wife there? Like, where's your wife?
You know, yeah,
is she fighting too?
Oh, she will cut a bitch. Let me tell you right now, Nora will cut a bitch. Okay.
Yeah, normally not tolerant of you when you get like this.
No, she's not. Like when we were waiting in line for the Salita cups, it was early in the morning. We were doing this for my niece Mandy because she's a collector, right? So I was like, I'll go with you to the Stripes at the front of the neighborhood on 99 and get the Salina cup. She's like, okay, because the line's going to be real bad. So we get in line and we're waiting there. And there's this one lady in front of us. And then this family of 50 roll up and all of them have a cup in their hand. And then they get in line again to get another cup. And I was like, oh, hell no. What? You all have a cup. Move it. No. And Nora's like, shut up. I was like, no, I'm not going to sit here with this gang of kids.
And you were that loud too, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. I was ignorant. She was like, this is why I don't want to go anywhere with you ever. You can't just sit there and shut up and be quiet. You got to act like an ass. You got to make an ass of yourself. I'm like, babe, they're cutting. I'm like, I'm eight. They're no cuts, no butts, no interrupts, pal.
I'll tell you what chapped my ass is when you said they already had a cup. If they didn't have a cup yet, I still would be upset. Joel. But if they already had a cup, you already got yours.
Bro, you already got a cup. You got a gang of kids. You got 15 kids. Like, you like a kangaroo. You got them in packs on the front of you, on the back of you. Like, you look like a mama wombat with kids all over you. No, get your ass to the back of the line like the rest of us.
Paul's calling now because he heard wombat.
No, I was so pissed. I was like, I will fight. I will fight everybody. We'll start with the youngest and work our way up. No, I don't know.
And what did they respond?
I don't know that they spoke English.
Did they stay in line?
If I'm being honest. Look, it's a family of 50.
Did they stay in line?
they were definitely Hispanic. I don't know. Oh, yeah.
And you didn't go to get a manager or something and go, hey, come on.
So it turns out that there was a sign at the very front that said you could get back in line as many times as you wanted to, but you had to get back in line. What I didn't realize is that they had some racket going where they would put one person in line like every 10 to 15 people and then just use that to cut. And they had a whole system going.
That's crazy.
No.
I mean, are these things that valuable? I know they were popular.
It was
the
dumbest thing ever. I don't even know why the hell I was there.
Why do they
need released
so many?
Another one, and my niece, Mandy, was like, hey, guys, they released a new one. I was like, let me stop you right there. I'm not doing it again. I'm not guilt. No.
Yeah, fooled me once. But
no, I'm not going to get cut by a gang of 50 people for a Salina cup at 8 o'clock in the morning. No, you're asking, you know, you can buy one off of eBay. I'll buy you one off of eBay. I'm not sitting through that
again.
The
best part is that they didn't speak English.
No. They had no idea. No. I mean, I'm sure they knew that I was talking mess. They just didn't know what I was saying. Hey, guys, I want to tell you about Get Upside right now, man. Get Upside. Boy, you want to cash. If you love money, if you love money in your pocket, download the Get Upside app. Totally free to put on your phone. It's for Google and Android. And I love it because it's so simple. Like, there's no catch with Get Upside. You download it. You use it. You get money back. End of story. That's how it works. It's so simple. Like, you use a debit card, you upload your receipt. Those are all the mechanics of it, but it works. I've had Clarence tell me he had $5 the first two times he went out. That's how much money he got back when he went to eat. Like, it gives you cash back on gas and food. So if you go eat dinner today for lunch and then you go and fill your car up, you could be getting cash back at the pump and the dinner table with both of those with the Get Upside app. Now, here's what I want you to do. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings on your first fill up through the app. And you can already get up to 25 cents a gallon. No joke. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon at over 500 gas stations around the city of Houston. But with that promo code Barry, you're going to get extra savings. My wife ended up getting 30 cents a gallon back on her first fill up. And the food thing, man, that's legit. If you could get 25% cash back on every meal you eat, that's a free meal every four times you go out to eat. Who's passing that up? I'm not. You should download it too, man. I'm on it. Nick's on it. AJ's on it. The wife's on it. Tons of listeners are sending me screenshots. Get involved, man. If you haven't done it yet, you are wasting money and leaving money at the table in the pump. Download Get Upside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that cash back. Thank me later.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through our number one three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F Yeah Friday, as we've been covering some ground and bouncing around in the first hour. And before the break, we were talking about line etiquette, and you said Jerome had put out something about...
Well,
barbecue.
I was on the he tweeted it and said there's just too many rules in this world, and I totally agree. But I think it comes down to like common sense and common courtesy and decency to your fellow man. But yeah, so that was just the first part. We didn't even get to the rest of it. So they talked about the line thing, and then they talked about saving a table. Like, you're not, apparently people show up to these spots. Yep. One person gets in line,
yep,
and then everyone else goes and sits at the table, yep, and that's a no-no. Which, yeah, yeah, why are you just hogging a table? You're not going to be, it's another hour.
Yeah, the spot that we were talking about that we went to in Dallas, they have signs all over that say, no, you cannot go and save tables at any time.
Yeah.
You only get a table when you have your food with you.
Yeah, that was, and I don't know that that's, you know, is that an issue? I've never seen it. Like, I don't see people saving tables at like Killens or Corkscrew necessarily.
In that place, it would have been an issue because there wasn't,
oh, really?
There wasn't enough tables to cover everybody that's in line.
It was literally in a business park, and it was all businesses around them.
Parking was a
struggle. And Nick's right. Yeah. Parking was a joke.
Wow. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I've never understood. Like, I waited for Killens one time, and it was good. And it was when Dave Landau was in town, and he was like, oh, you're not going to beat Detroit brisket. I was like, what the hell, Detroit? What the hell is Detroit brisket? Get out of here. I was like, come on. I'm going to take you to Killens. He was like, oh, my God, this is the best brisket I've ever had. Like, this is insane. So it was worth it because I was waiting with him. And I took the wife once because she had never been. I feel like that's a one-time thing. Like, I'm not just like, man, I kind of want some barbecue today. I'm going to go bake in the sun like a potato for 2 hours.
But the thing about being in a business park was the line, for the most part, was all indoors. And they had a winding system it gets to outdoors. Right.
Killens is all outside. Yeah. I mean, same thing with Tejas. Corkscrew, I didn't have to wait for. I got pretty lucky on that. But the other two, and good luck. I don't know how they get any business past June. Who's standing in line for some barbecue in August?
But like Nick was saying,
I love barbecue, but not that much. No.
Or even the cold.
In
why
this
would I?
State, yeah. It's so popular. Like Nick was saying, this was a guy, according to AJ, that had his own restaurant forever. He only does it on like Friday, Saturday. And it's like the most popular spot in town.
It's crazy.
And that he said if they wanted to add more days, they could easily do the same thing every day.
Crazy.
They literally had a system to where the line was wrapped up around the restaurant inside against the wall. And then when it, at one point, at some point, the line will actually cut in front of the door's entrance. So they actually put a gap in the line. Like, they're really organized about the line itself. So they put a gap in the line so people can still walk in and then get in the line.
Bouncer.
It was basically a bouncer.
Basically a bouncer. He stands there, like Nick's saying, where the line crosses the door. And he makes sure the space stays open and that people don't lose their bleeping mind when he goes, you guys can go through.
That's not his only job, but that's a part of his job. You know what I mean? Like, to make sure, like, he literally organizes the line.
That's, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't get it.
But what's crazy to me is that people will talk about these new barbecue spots. Like, there's this one by my dad's old shop in the city of Bel Air that just opened a few months ago. And I'd never seen their line go that. Like, what makes a barbecue spot have that much line, like that much of a line?
The food.
That's like, what I'm saying.
But what if it's a grand opening deal? Like, and they're still, they got line like right out the gate.
I think Corkscrew, Corkscrew used to be like in a little food truck. It started as a food truck and then it kind of grew. And then they got their own spot in spring. So when it opened, I'm sure people were lined up out the door for their grand opening. And I'm sure people were driving by going, what? It's like a grand. But they had already had little small spots where they built up that clientele and that reputation. So maybe that's the case. I'm not a line guy. Like I went to do the cup thing with the wife because that was for my niece and she really wanted them. Plus it was, you know, I'm not home all the time because of comedy and everything else. So it was a chance to hang out with my wife in the morning and spend the morning with her. We grabbed breakfast and all that, made a whole morning of it.
I've never waited for a phone.
I've never waited for none of that.
I was trying to think while you were
saying
that.
I'm not going
to
the mall.
Nope.
I love shoes now. I'm not going to the mall and waiting on some Jordans. I'm not doing
it. I did it when I was making money off of it. But but here's the thing. Wouldn't do it for just for my shoes.
Is there any food? Is there anything that you would wait in line like that for? Because I don't, I just don't see it. No. I'm with Barry. I'm not in, I hate lines as much as I hate traffic. I hate lines. And I just can't think of, like, there's no food or there's no, like you said, or, you know, shoes or special gear or anything
there
like that.
There is literally nothing. Not even.
I'm not passionate enough about a concert.
If I was single and waiting in line for Virginia, even if it was good, I would just.
White toenail polish and all.
Yeah, if she had white toenail polish and sunshine.
You're not waiting in line for the white toenail polish?
No. Not doing it. There's nothing on this planet that I would want to wait.
You're right.
And now, I you know, 5-10 minutes, you know, maybe a movie. There's going to be a little line. I mean, even to go see my favorite comic, if there was a long line, I'd be like, nah.
I don't know if there's anything that
not doing it.
You know, Buffalo Grill is like this. Buffalo Grill, the breakfast spot, which is in West U. Now they have two locations.
Oh, I've heard.
Same thing. The line and people cut and they do it. They save spots and they save tables and they don't police the tables.
Yeah, people are telling me about not that, but the Breakfast Club. They're like, you got to go eat there. I'm like, I'll never eat there.
Breakfast Club too.
I'll never eat there unless they close at noon and I get in line at 11:59.
And you're I'm sure it's breakfast still club, out the door. They bring those portable tents and they set up next to each other portable tent armies. So that while you're waiting outside, you're at least shaded because the line is completely outside. And
guess
it's
what?
Long.
I'll just make eggs at the house.
You know what? I did it after clubs. Like, remember Mize?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, after clubs?
Until it burned down, And it's back up again.
It's back up. I don't know if it still has the same line after, like, at 2 o'clock in the morning, but man.
Yeah, I remember.
That line used to be ridiculous.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
Went there a couple times after hours. Yep. It was legit. But I never, I don't think I waited in line at Mize either.
Well, it got to the point where we if they know you, they'll start letting you cut.
Yeah. Man, I just can't do it. I'm not a line guy.
Totally with you. All right. Hey, wait in line because hour number two is coming up right after this break. Don't go anywhere. Plenty more to get to in the second hour of the show. We could talk Astros with a big series against the Red Sox and lots of other things. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.